do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Thank you guys for sticking around all of last year. We are in 2020 now, so we're ready to get back to work. I'm ready to start grinding, pumping out content nonstop. So, you know, expect more episodes. You can expect the same quality that you've come to expect from the show. And again, as a late thank you, I just want to wish you guys a belated holiday. I hope your Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrated was well spent with family and friends or by yourself. You know, it doesn't really matter as long as you had a great time. And again, thank you for just tuning in and sticking around. Without much further ado, today's episode is with a very special friend. Her name is Claudia Lara, and she is a community activist and instructor at the Warriors Community Self-Defense in El Sereno. A little background about what they do. It is a community-based program designed to empower marginalized communities by providing self-defense teachings. And she basically joined me this time to talk about the art of jiu-jitsu, how we should be embracing our cultural roots, and why it's important for creating spaces made for the people by the people. It was a fun conversation. I really enjoyed the shit out of it, so I hope you do as well. Before we get that started, just for the music spotlight today, we have Murder That with her song Dripping Gold. Check that out. It's on SoundCloud, it's on YouTube, it's on Spotify. I'm sure you can follow her anywhere, and you can catch her on some shows at the Boulevard or any other place where she's performing. Great music, great vibes. You're not going to regret it. Check it out. Here's a small preview, and if you want to stick around at the end of the episode, you can hear her full song. And as always, man, just help support these people, help support their communities, their movements, their hard work, their music, everything, because without people like you, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have anything to really strive for. So again, big thank you, and I hope you stick around for the remainder of the year, because we got a long way to go. We got like another 360 days or something. But again, without much further ado, I hope you enjoy the conversation. Check you guys out next time.
To reality, best way for actions to speak loudly. Hardly can't count on anyone with shit get cloudy. Only wanna kick it to get on cloud 90. Precisely setting up these boundaries so I grow strong like a sequoia tree. Profound happiness is all I see. Mess with me, kill you like poison ivy.
Press the button to begin.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Social Primate Podcast. Happy 2020. I know we weren't able to do like a final episode for the year, like 2019 version of it, but we're back. 2020, we got the first episode coming out, and today we have a guest, Claudia Lara. What's up, Claudia?
Hey.
Well, for people who don't know you, if you want to just give us a little bit of background of information, what you do. I know I've had the chance to know you for a few years now, and I like what you do, but I don't want to ruin the surprise. So give us a little bit of background. Yeah, a little spoiler.
Yeah, so I've known you for a long time now.
Yeah.
Met through some friends, family. Yeah. And we never got work together, right?
No, we never had the chance. Yeah, yeah, it's just more like, hey, what's up? Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, just normal person, you know, doing things. I guess what we'll talk about today is my involvement with the Warrior Program,
mm-hmm.
Warriors Community Self-Defense out of Boyle Heights and El Sereno.
Yeah.
And so we are a donation-based, volunteer-led, community-rooted self-defense program. We focus on jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, and we are open to, we open our doors to our communities and anyone really who wants to come train,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't maybe have access or can afford martial arts classes in like an academy setting. I've been doing that for about 7 to 8 years. The program has been around since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, that's what kind of caught my interest in the beginning, especially when I saw there was an article, I think, last month on Voyage LA.
Yes.
I kind of just broke down like a little story about you, how you've been involved in that program. And I found it really interesting just the fact that you guys had like that whole like the program just based around martial arts.
and like you said, primarily jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, and giving to the community. Because like, personally, I've only done jiu-jitsu like 5 times. I went, it was like those free classes they give you. Like, hey, you got a free class for an hour, blah, 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 blah. And you go and it's cool, you know? It's a cool new experience. It's something that your body's not really used to.
Right.
And I felt it like thrilling. Like, I wanted to keep doing it. But when they told me, oh, you got to pay like $200 a month.
Right.
I'm like, fuck.
I can't afford that addiction. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know, right. And it kind of sucked for them, you know, because I couldn't do it because I wasn't financially able to. So right. When I heard about what you guys were doing, I thought that was great because, again, you guys started off really small. I think from my understanding, it was like just a group of like a guy or started it off like his garage or something.
Yeah,
right?
His living room.
Living room. Yeah,
the homie, you know, he had never trained before. He was really into martial arts, mixed martial arts specifically, like, you know, with the big rise of the UFC kind of like blowing up. He was really into that and he kind of saw something there, you know, an opportunity. And I think it started with his son. He wanted to teach his son just like, you know, like some basics of wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And they had family friends who then saw what he was doing with his son and were interested. And it was like a family friend who had 4 boys. So then all of a sudden it was like 5 kids. And then 2 other family friends, you know. So it just kind of grew that way. And I mean, honestly, that's how it's kept growing. It's like a lot of word of mouth and people who have come through the program who have experienced, you know, the positive changes from it and have been able to tell other people about it, invite other people to come through, and then, you know, kind of experience it for themselves. So yeah, it grew from his living room to a community center in Boyle Heights, Corazón del Pueblo. It's not around anymore. They got pushed out due to gentrification. But we kind of the program has hopped around community centers. We were at Corazón del Pueblo for a while. We were at La Concha, which is another autonomous, women-led community space in Boyle Heights. And then we were out of the Boyle Heights Arts Conservatory for a bit. And then we finally landed where we're at right now in El Sereno with the Eastside Cafe. And we've been there for a while now. We've made our little semi-permanent home there.
Yeah. Cool. And then, like, with you personally, was it intimidating jumping into something like that? No?
I was made for it.
You were made for it?
I was born for it. Yeah. I've always wanted to. I've always wanted to do martial arts. And as a young girl, my dad wouldn't let me. You know, he said that wasn't for girls, that he wouldn't want to see my pretty face, you know, get beat up or, you know, or me hurt. And it was always that excuse, you know. And I remember... hopefully my brother doesn't hear this, but I remember when we were kids, we lived out in Boyle Heights by Oscar de la Hoya's gym on Lorena. It's a school now, but it was a little gym back then. And we would walk by every day on our way home from school. And I was always like, dang, that looks cool. You know, I want to do that. And I would tell my mom, mom, I want to try that. That looks fun. And, you know, we went home, we told my dad, and he was like, no, that's not for girls. Yeah. Interestingly enough, he kind of forced my brother to do it. Because it was
because he was a guy.
It was a thing for boys. If anyone's gonna do it, it's gonna be the boy. So my brother tried it for, I don't know, maybe months, maybe a few months, and it, you know, it wasn't for him. He wasn't interested in anything like that. So, but my mom would take me to his practices, so I would sit there and watch him learn and train, knowing that he didn't want to do it, and I'm over here dying, to try it, and I wasn't allowed. So I think as soon as I got the opportunity, it was just kind of instant. Like, I fell in love with it, especially, you know, jiu-jitsu being such a mental game as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're basically playing chess with your body.
With your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I mentioned that, I've only had a chance to try it out a few times.
Cool.
So I never, you know, I'm no belt. I'm like,
yeah, and that's how we started. Yeah. We were no belts, and that's exactly what we called us. We called ourselves no belts.
Yeah.
I was a no belt for I think like over a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
And the kind of like, I don't know, I guess the whole thing about us teaching as no belts is, you know, something that we talked about in the article you referred to. And that was kind of like the whole, I don't want to say, you know, drama, but that's kind of what stirred up some of the people in the jiu-jitsu community not supporting what we were doing, because we were basically self-taught at that point through instructionals.
Right.
And, you know, and then teaching other people.
And so, so that was like a big no-no to those to the top guys.
Right. Yeah. It was, you know, you in jiu-jitsu, you know, there's a lot of respect for for the work that goes into earning that black belt. Mm-hmm. And of course, we respect that, you know, but our we were coming from a place where jiu-jitsu was nowhere in our community. You know, there was no jiu-jitsu academies in Boyle Heights. There was no jiu-jitsu academies anywhere near like East LA, El Sereno, any of our surrounding communities. Mm-hmm. Now there is, because people are starting to see the, you know, the value in creating those spaces, and with gentrification right now.
Yeah, it's just going rampant everywhere.
Right. Yeah. But you know, 10 years ago, there weren't any of these academies in our community. So our outlook was always, well, if they're not here, then we're going to create them, mm-hmm. right? And we're going to do that to the best of our ability with what we have.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we did. And, you know, we got some, like, some backlash from some people, but for the most part, people were supportive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were blessed with a couple of really good friendships that, you know, people who had kind of made their name in the jiu-jitsu community, and we had their support. So that was a big help to kind of get the program up and running and continue to do what we were doing.
Yeah, I would bet, like, especially when they tell you that, you know, they're trying to, I wouldn't say they were trying to control it, but they were just trying to say, like, you guys are not doing it right, in the sense to kind of discourage you from continuing to do it. I think it's important that you guys, I think it's cool and important that you guys continue to do it, even if those people, you know, there's always that voice that tells you no, no, no.
Yeah.
But then there's actually people who are telling you that. So I think it's cool that you guys persisted through that. Because again, times that I got to do it, it was mentally and physically draining.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But at the end of it, you just came out like feeling so good. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what it was. I just felt like this relief, like, oh, man, you could do anything type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that was just a practice. And the first time that I did it, there was this really big guy who was like, all right, you got to – he was – I forgot the position it's called, but I'm laying on my back, and he's between my legs. Like
the guard.
The guard, yeah. So he's like, okay, you got to get me out. And he's just, like, kind of holding me down. And, dude, I was fucking struggling, like, trying to get this guy, like – 5 times my weight out, and I'm like, dude, how do I do this? He was like, there's a technique. There's a technique. And I'm like, no, there isn't. And then it wasn't until they kind of broke it down to you, like, what you can possibly do to try to get out of that. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, I don't know. I felt like I had more knowledge of what my body could do, you know? It was just one session, you know?
Yeah.
But
that's I'm assuming, the beautiful thing about it.
Yeah. So, like, for...
And that's why I love teaching it. Seeing that, that click in somebody's mind, like, wow, like... as small as I am, or, you know, like as weak as I believe myself to be, I can do something like this.
Yeah.
Like, dang, I just got this big old guy off of me.
Yeah.
You know, like it's amazing when that, when you see that click in somebody's mind and you see that, like that kind of change in mindset, right? Like from, I can't do this, I can't do this, to, oh yeah, I just did.
Yeah, exactly. You feel powerless, like. You don't at that time when I was doing it, I definitely was going through a time in my life where I felt like I had no control, and like about certain things that were going on with me. And that's why I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try jiu-jitsu. You know, I've heard people talk about it. I'm a big Joe Rogan fan, so he's huge into that culture of it. So I'm like, you know what, like, let me get myself out of my comfort zone and see what I can really do. And it was those moments when I felt powerless that I realized, like, fuck, I gotta change stuff about myself, you know? And going just through those, I went through like 5 different phases in different gyms, sessions. And each of them, it was something different. I learned just like one technique or something. I forgot the names of it, but it was cool. And then I felt more like I could do this, you know? I can keep going with whatever I'm going with. And what's the word I'm looking for? I forget what the word is, Claudia, but point is, I feel like I can keep going, you know? So with that being said, for the people who don't know what jiu-jitsu is, it's like a foreign word to them. How would you describe it? Like, what kind of martial art is it?
It's a grappling art. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of groundwork, similar to wrestling, except wrestling is very pin-based, whereas jiu-jitsu, there's submissions. So it comes from Brazil. The jiu-jitsu that we practice comes from Brazil, and it's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu, or people also call it Gracie jiu-jitsu, because the Gracie family was...
Oh, Gracie Barra?
Gracie Barra is an extension of what the Gracie family brought to the United States from Brazil. But they learned from a Japanese practitioner, Count Koma, and they learned, you know, what was Japanese jiu-jitsu. So Count Koma taught one of the Gracie family members, who then kind of taught the rest of his family. And with that, Japanese jiu-jitsu was seen to be for the strong, the fast. It was what they taught soldiers, mm-hmm. So that when they lost their weapons in battle, they had something to rely on with hand-to-hand combat. So when the Gracie family learned, they had to adjust the art form to fit their physical abilities. Mm-hmm. They weren't as strong, they weren't as fast, they weren't as big, right? So they introduced the guard, actually, mm-hmm. and they introduced some other positions and techniques. And from, you know, from that evolution, it just kind of kept growing. To this day, it's still evolving. Every year, there's like new submissions, new positions, like a new guard every week, you know, like there's endless changes, and you know, the game keeps evolving with also with like tournaments and the UFC, right? Like, and then depending what people are utilizing jiu-jitsu for, then you know, kind of you can kind of shape and mold it to fit kind of like mm-hmm. What your needs are. So whether that's, you know, something like UFC or something like self-defense, or just a hobby, you know.
Yeah, no, for me, it was more like a hobby. You know, at the point, I hope at some point to rejoin it and continue like developing it.
Yeah, come train with us.
I'm gonna have to take you up on that offer really soon. You know, I feel like it's time to get back onto it. You know,
that's really cool. I didn't know that you had taken a couple of classes.
Yeah, no, and if it weren't for that, like $200, $250 a month, I would have still been going. You know, without a doubt. Because honestly, like again, it was more about getting me out of my comfort zone with my body, and you know, and I learned like these new things that they're painful to your body. You don't even know, like twisting your arm too far back, like gonna call it quits, or you know, just how you can move around. Like there was this roll that I learned, like it's like a monkey roll, and I, you know, you're a kid and you do marometas, and it's natural to you, mm-hmm. and your body's limber and you can do it. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know, it's like, how am I going to do this as an adult? Like, my back hurts. Like, my knees fucking don't go all the way down.
Oh, yeah.
But then next thing you know, you're doing these rolls back to back like a monkey, you know? And it's, like, it's cool because you see that your body is capable. It's just you're not used to these movements anymore that...
For sure.
You get, the muscle atrophy, and it's not until you start getting those...
Yeah.
...moving that you're like, oh, shit.
It's such a full body workout that you will feel sore the next day in places you never thought you could be sore, you know? So for sure. But that's one of the awesome things about it, you know. I think you mentioned a little bit earlier about jiu-jitsu teaching you lessons that translate into life outside of martial arts, off the mats, into, you know, ways of seeing the world that give you, whether it's coping mechanisms or just, you know, a new insight of what you're capable of, that, like I said, translates off the mats into everything you do, a type of confidence, a type of willpower.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, for sure. It was really grounding and humbling for me.
Oh, yeah.
I got my ass kicked. Because
you get your ass kicked.
You know, and for the most part, at least the majority of us think that, you know, we're feeling like pumped and we're like, man, I want somebody to like fight me or something, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, do you really know, or do you really want to be put in that position? And for the most part, you don't know how to react when you are in those positions, you know? And once I felt like I got my ass whooped, I was like, oh, shit. You know, like, nah, you know, it was really humbling for me too, on top of whatever else I felt, like that confidence and that, all that. And it was like, just like somebody just lifted a sheet out of my brain. It's like, nah, your ego, you're nothing here, man. Like, somebody's going to be stronger than you, you know? There's
always
something better. Someone's always
going to be stronger and better. And, yeah, it's definitely one of those ego killers, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something we tell people when they come to the Warriors program is, you know, you got to leave your ego at the door. Because that's the kind of stuff that will get you hurt. And specifically with the program, you know, we're trying to create an environment that's welcoming, that feels like a safe space for all the people that have been marginalized and have been pushed away from your typical academy, where you might find those egos, where you might find that testosterone-driven training style you know, and that pushes certain people away. And yeah. those people that are being pushed away are the people who need that those self-defense skills the most. They're the people that wouldn't fit into your typical training academy. And so that's who we want to cater our space to, a space that's, you know, inclusive, welcoming, safe, mm-hmm. and patient and compassionate to everyone and their different physical abilities and also social emotional state.
Yeah,
because not everyone, you know, is ready to push 100% and throw themselves into the pit and be like, all right, let's go, you know. Yeah. Not everyone's ready to do that, and the people come with their experiences and, you know, sometimes their traumas, and they wouldn't make it in any regular gym because not everyone is conscious of that and or compassionate.
Yeah. So with that being said, were you involved with like the community beforehand, like doing anything else before you got into the jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, I've been a part of different stuff. I mean, I mm-hmm. grew up in Boyle Heights, so I was always involved in something or other. I've always been a very active person, so I like to be busy. And so when I moved back to my neighborhood from being away at college, mm-hmm. I joined a all-female cycling brigade called the Ovarian Cycles.
Oh, damn.
So that's kind of how I got back into organizing mm-hmm. In the community. We did a lot of different bike rides for women-identified folks around issues that were, or with the intent of informing, educating, and creating change around issues that are affecting women in our communities. So I was part of the OVAS for a few years. Until I came across the Warriors mm-hmm. and what the homie X was doing. And, oh man, once I started training, I fell in love with it. And I saw an opportunity to organize in that aspect, you know, around self-defense. And I wanted to share all the positive changes that I experienced through training jiu-jitsu. I wanted to share that with everybody, you know? Yeah. So, I just kind of like got stuck on that. And I mean, I've been doing it ever since.
So I kind of just brought your two biggest things together.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, yeah, snowballed. This is it. Yeah, this is it. You know, community organizing and then my newfound love for martial arts and jiu-jitsu in particular. And I just ran with it.
So the whole idea that turned you on to the jiu-jitsu was what? Was it just like the intensity or like the...
We used to organize meetings for the OVAS out of Corazón del Pueblo. That was one of our meeting spaces. So the way the space was set up, there was a big open space in the front and there was a door for like kind of a smaller space in the back. And so usually because the space was used by a lot of different people, we would, you know, kind of have two things going on at the same time. So we would be having OVA meetings in the back while the jiu-jitsu classes were going on in the front. Mm-hmm. And so I would see these people come in, lay down the mats, right? At that point, we had these puzzle mats that, you know, you had
to lay them down.
Yeah, and interlock them, all of that, right? So I would see these people come in, lay down the mats, clean them, kind of like, you know, and then I would see the class. And by the time we were done with our meeting, the class was still going on. Mm-hmm. And so I would just kind of stand around and watch a couple of times. They would invite me to join them. And I was like, no, you know, I'm not prepared. I don't mm-hmm. have the right clothes, this and that, right? Always like an excuse here and there.
Yeah.
And one time I was just like, fuck it, you know, like, let me try it. The homie was like, if you give a shot, I'll show you how to break somebody's arm. And that's kind of how he got me. I was just like, I want to learn how to break some arms. Yeah. That sounds cool. And so he taught me an arm bar from the guard mm-hmm. and I was hooked. That's Damn. It. That's it. That did it.
There's this... What is it called? Kimura?
The Kimura?
Kimura. Oh, man. Yeah, they taught me that. And I was like, damn, that's just fucking dope.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm never going to practice that, you know, since that one time I never tried it again. But it stayed in my head like, damn, you know, if I was in ever that position, I think I might be able to get somebody into that. But who knows?
Yeah.
But it's cool. Go for it. I thought, again, it's the whole idea is great, you know, especially because you guys are involved in the community. And again, the biggest factor to me was that everything, at least from my understanding, it's that it's people who want to do like donations or like volunteers, right?
Like, yeah, volunteers. It's volunteer run. So all of the instructors, there's four of us right now, mm-hmm. we're all volunteers. So, you know, we don't get paid for what we do. Teach one or two classes a week. Mm-hmm. And classes are donation-based. So when people come and train, we suggest a $25 donation a month for all the classes you want to come to.
Yeah.
And if someone doesn't have that, then it's no big deal. You know, we work around what people can give. Some people give more. You know, some people are in a place to be able to contribute more, and they do. Some people can't, so they don't. And that's totally fine. We're not about the money. You know, that's not why we're doing this. And I think that's what makes it so different, so unique, and special, you know.
And at this point, outside of that, you guys still train. Like, the people who are volunteering, they still train outside on their own time.
We had to. And kind of the whole idea that, you know, no belts shouldn't be teaching anybody was kind of what propelled us to get ourselves into, a recognized academy under a black belt professor and be able to move up in the ranks, so that then we had some kind of legitimacy for what we were teaching, and also to be able to promote our students.
To kind of like, set like certain goals, air quotes, right?
Type right, of thing. Right. You want to be able to recognize people's growth and be able to validate that in a sense with these promotions. So, you know, whether it's the belt or, you know, you get stripes on your belt. Mm-hmm. With the program, we do it a little bit different because we are very culturally based. Mm-hmm. We incorporate a lot of traditional ways into what we do. So for example, every time before class, we'll smudge. Mm-hmm. So we'll burn sage and smudge our participants. So as they walk in onto the mats, you know, we are cleansing them in a traditional indigenous way. Mm-hmm. When we bow, you know, usually you bow into class, you know, we don't bow to a person, we bow to a warrior flag. At the end of every class, we circle up for palabra. So we sit in a circle and we create a space for people to share either, you know, positive criticisms about the program, constructive criticisms, I should say, or just, you know, anything they want to share, whether it's related to the martial arts or not. And that's really created a community support for people who are struggling, you know, whether it's going through a hard time or just dealing with life, you know. And so we've had people come through who, you know, who have shared, you know, I don't want to disclose too much because that's confidential and it was shared in a sacred space. But, you know, all that to say that people have shared how this is really changing their lives and giving them an opportunity to kind of do something positive and productive when they've found themselves with really nothing else. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's really heartwarming and it's really rewarding to hear that, you know, to be thanked in that way. And hear somebody say, like, you saved my life. Like, you know, this program, you know, if I wasn't sitting here right now, I don't know where I would be, either jail, dead, or, you know, who knows. So that's like, that to me is like, fuck, you know. This really does mean something for people, and that's really what we set out to do, to create a space where people can come and through this martial art, you know, build community and create a place for people to just be, to be themselves, you know, outside of everything else that society demands from us.
You know, I think that's a really good point because, again, that whole community aspect, like, I'll use me as an example. You know, I grew up in, like, Cudahy, Huntington Park, like, Southeast LA area. And I was really prone growing up to a lot of violence, like street violence, you know, like every other day you hear somebody got shot. Somebody's friends got killed in the riverbed or so on and so forth, you know. So it was all around you at all times. And it kind of made it really difficult to find a sense of community outside of your house because you didn't want to go outside, or there wasn't any programs that kind of like got the community together to go to some place and, you know, grow from it, meet everybody else and have a whole collective of people going for one thing. So I think that's why for me it was a little hard trying to get into different programs when I was older, because I was like, nah, you know, I don't want to get involved type of thing. But at some point they opened up a boxing program in Cudahy. I joined it for like a month. It wasn't my thing for sure. Like, boxing wasn't,
I don't know. Can you punch in the face? Wasn't fun?
Yeah, it was not fun at all. Fuck that. And they wanted to throw you in the ring. Like, no. I was like, nah, I'm not ready for the ring, man. but just that, just, you know, just having something like that, like an outlet, was enough to kind of like start making things change within me or the community. You know, people were going somewhere else. And although that violence was still around, yeah, it was still important that we had those little things going on, because at that point, you know, the community was starting to evolve little by little. And I think the older the community got there, like people that were my age, they started getting involved more and more. You know, they're opening up like local businesses or like coming back to the community to help foster like little social programs, basketball shit or something. And I think that's cool because we didn't have that when we were younger. And, you know, like you guys, you said Boyle Heights, like in Sereno area, right? Like that place has always been known, air quotes too, to be like super high violence. Oh, yeah. You know, like it's for the majority of the part, they say it's just, well, I think right now it's getting more gentrified, but at some point it was yes, you know, but the majority of the people there are Latinx or Hispanics or, you know, from somewhere from South Central America or any, you know, mostly minorities,
people of color.
And, you know, they don't have those programs. And like you said, there's people who want something instead of just having to run through a group with gangs and trying to feel like they fit somewhere. And they found a program where they learn jiu-jitsu and they learn how to like control that emotion, control your ego. And then at some, and you start growing on your own.
Yeah.
You know, so dude, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, you know? That's the goal. You know, that's the goal, to just kind of be there. Mm-hmm. You know, and our kids program is probably my favorite part about all of it, you know. And like you said, it's just about giving folks an opportunity to get into something positive, you know, where they can, you know, either de-stress or just kind of release, you know, a positive outlet to release, you know, the stress of everydays. And yeah, like in Boyle Heights right now, like luckily there's a lot of resources being like funneled into the community because of all the violence that we've seen, and you know, people coming together to create a positive change. And like you said, you know, we're seeing now people are interested in, they see the value in it now. You know, now that the community did the work to make it a better place to live, now outside people are like, okay, this is cute. This is, you know, it's affordable.
Yeah,
you know, and so. Yeah, it's definitely something that's affecting our communities. And as a program, we're working to fight against. We're part of the Eastside Cafe, which is the bigger community space. Has been there for about 18 years, and it's completely autonomous, meaning we don't, you know, we're not tied to any city or government funds. We don't operate under grants. Everything is for the people, by the people. We completely self-sustain that space, and not only have we been able to do that for, you know, over 15 years, but recently we were able to, as a community, acquire the entire building.
Oh, nice.
Which is the Isia Cafe, the space where we're at, the Caracol, which is where the Warriors trains, and then the other five storefronts at that corner lot. So it's, you know, it's something that we're deeply connected to, the self-defense, community defense. You know, they're not separate from each other. You know, and we're aware of that. We're aware that our personal fight to be safe as people of color, as working class people, is not separate from the collective fight to be safe from gentrification, from all these symptoms of capitalism that ail us.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, that's a big thing that's been going on for years. Slowly, you know, I think Highland Park was like a big target point like a few years back. I think it's still at the moment, but, you know, they're still fighting it, but. Yeah, there was a lot of evictions. They were just kicking a bunch of people out. And it was really disgraceful, to be honest. You know, families, little kids and everything. And it's like, come on, like, just to make room for other... Yeah, I get it. There are new housing projects and bullshit. But, like, for at what cost? You know, like, the cost of, like, hundreds and thousands of people who are going to be not only traumatized just by that single moment, but for the rest of their lives, because it's going to be something that's going to form their being, you know, that's either going to either break them or make them at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like having these community outlets or these programs is like one of the first steps to be able to give the power back to the people and, you know, have them rise. And then, you know, once we have a better, clear understanding of who we are, you know, to me, that was jiu-jitsu. To me, that gave me a slight change of perspective amongst other stuff, and then helped kind of like keep snowballing me into who I wanted to become to. And then you decide what kind of action you start wanting to take, if that makes any sense, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That ripple effect, you know, create a positive change within yourself. You know, you present that to your community, and hopefully that's, you know, that's the goal, you know, that ripple effect. And I mean, it's the only way we're going to, you know, we're going to make any change, any real change. And
yeah, awesome. That's fucking cool, man, you know. But
yeah, it's neocolonialism, you know, like gentrification, people being displaced, all these things. It's, you know, we are under attack as a people, and the sooner we can put a name to that, you know, and the sooner we can come together, mm-hmm. build these positive spaces for ourselves, you know, the sooner we can start to really create safety, like real safety.
Yeah, I know there's, for sure, there's still a good amount of people who are, want to be oblivious to that stuff. You know, you talk to them about it and they're like, dude, like, shut up. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
it.
People, you know, and then the argument is that, don't you, like, okay, for someone like me or you who grew up in a neighborhood that saw young people of color shot and killed every other day, and then people go ahead and ask, oh, don't you want good things in your community? Don't you want it to be nicer? Don't you want it to look good? You know, of course we do. You know, how dare these people, as outsiders who did not grow up in Boyle Heights, who did not grow up in Highland Park, who did not grow up in El Sereno, living the violence every day, how dare they ask, don't we want anything better? Of course we fucking do, right? Like, of course we fucking do. We want something better for us, by us. And that's not what gentrification is. You know, that's not for us and that's not by us. You have these big, you know, corporations or these fucking hipsters coming in, setting up their fucking businesses, you know, with a $14 avocado toast and, you know, like a $10 latte. Like, you know, who is that for? That's not for me. I can't afford that shit with the wage that you pay me, you know, like you meaning whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you know, all of that, that's bringing it back to the program and bringing it back to your question about, you know, culture. It's, you know, that's what the program is about. We're here to preserve a culture, connect to what was stolen from us over 500 years ago, you know, and use those cultural roots to better who we are now, to better our communities, and to bring something good, you know, to our people.
Yeah, that brings me to the next point, which was like, you know, trying to connect back to your roots, you know, because like, I know like a few years ago, I started getting like this want, like this need, like this conscious need to understand better of who I was and where I came from. Because as far as I know, my family tree ends at my grandma or like, maybe latest my great grandpa, and that's about it, you know. And yeah, they're in Mexico, but like, what's my lineage, what's my ancestry? Like, I started wanting to know these things, and at this point I still haven't had the chance to do that. I haven't gotten the 21andMe test yet, but I'm working on trying to get more information, you know. But for the same reason that I felt like I was neither here nor there, like I was born here in the US in LA, but I'm not full American, but I'm also not full Mexican.
Right.
So it's kind of like, where am I in between all of this, you know?
Yeah.
So I had that need to kind of like try to understand myself a little better to see who everything is, right? So going back to the whole thing is like, I was trying to find ways or trying to connect more to the culture stuff, like, you know, the history, the fucking, what are they called? I keep forgetting these words right now. But like the culture, the history, like el estilo, like la comida, like everything like about it. I just wanted to understand a little bit better. And like the same thing, like the history part, like the good and the bad part of it. Like where does this all fall up together? And to this point, I'm still yearning to find that out, you know, and I still haven't filled that void. But I think that's not just a me thing. I think a lot of people at some point at least will come to that realization that you need to learn or understand more where you're coming from. And I don't know where to start. Like, I don't know where to start. And I feel like, again, like you say, with this program, at least you guys are trying to, you know, clean it up with the sage or doing different things that contain to a culture to try to express it and keep it alive. So like, how did you guys get started? What was the idea that decided like, we're going to continue these practices?
I think as individuals, we all value these ways, and you know, they're part of our lives, And so very naturally, we bring them to everything we do. And that's just our perspective on life, right? Mm-hmm. How things are done, how as simple as that. So there's that. But as a community program, you know, it was really important for us to, again, be an outlet for people to plug into martial arts, making that affordable and accessible, but making it intentional in the way that we're connecting with people on a deeper level, and having conversations and creating a space where people can start to ask those questions like, where do I come from?
Yeah.
What is my lineage? You know, what happened to my great grandparents? All of those things, right? Because that's something you're not, that's a history you're not taught about in school. That's mm-hmm. a history that's been erased from the books. And, you know, and it's like that for a reason. So it really is up to us to start, if you're curious, you know, looking for those answers. And that's the fucked up thing is that there's no real way, like, that's accessible for that, right? If you're not already, like, brought up in those ways, mm-hmm. if you're not already brought up, you know, in and around ceremony and have those ties to either your culture or, you know, the original people of this land and their ways. So it's hard. It's hard because we've been so disconnected from that, you know, and the powers that be have done such a good job, mm-hmm. you know, in keeping us from that systematically. And so, yeah, I feel you on that one. You know, I'm still asking those questions now. There's yeah. a lot that, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. I know that there was a point for sure in school where I started questioning, like, why am I reading a bunch of, like, just white artists, like white authors, you know, like,
yeah.
they were talking about experiences that I didn't understand.
Mm.
And then you start like, okay, like, I just got to do this assignment type of thing. But then you're like, wait, like, I want to see something, you know, it's kind of like the representation in movies. There was also this time I was watching some movie with Owen Wilson. and I was like, wait, all these movies have the same concept. It's a white guy doing something, you know, and there's always a damsel in distress, you know, there's these stereotypes, right. You know, and it's like, okay, it has to be changed, you know, you got to see somebody in your shoes on TV and you're like, oh shit, okay, things are kind of starting to change, which I kind of guess it's been happening, but only because I think the companies are following agenda too, but that's a whole different point, you know, yeah. But I mean, it has to start somewhere.
Well, technology, you know, like, has made it so much easier for people to do something like this,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like, if it weren't for how accessible these mediums are now, we probably wouldn't be sitting here doing this right now. You know, like, that was for the radios.
Yeah, for right? the radios, yeah.
But
expensive equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's the internet too, you know. The internet for sure has a big boom in that for everything, because now you can promote yourself and get the exposure of millions in
yeah.
a matter of seconds,
YouTube
minutes.
Superstar.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, there's a 7-year-old that's making like...
I did hear about that.
I don't know how many millions.
I want to be that fool's friend.
Have a little homie?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, it's crazy. For sure, it's a crazy way that... it's crazy how things have evolved since, you know, the fucking first Windows or the first... what's it called? Website.
Yeah.
But... you know, now we're here, like you said, now we have these powers and, you know, the people are, I guess, the younger conscious people who are more tech savvy.
Yeah.
They're kind of jumping on that train and using that technology to kind of explode out of here mm-hmm. and like create their own stuff, do it yourself. Okay, we're back. I mean, just got to be honest. It was a bleep in the system right now. A little electrical problems. Yeah, it was Claudia. It was all Claudia's fault. But we're back. We're back. But yeah, just to finish the last thought, internet, do it yourself. People can do it now. You know, yep. We have the power now. If you really want it, you're going to make it happen.
Yes. Speaking of the internet and do it yourself and bringing it all back, me and a homie just made a couple of videos. I don't know if you've seen
them.
Oh,
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
I did link
like
them on
jiu-jitsu,
the...
like tutorials real quick, type of thing?
Yeah, just real quick instructional videos, one or two techniques. My friend had a really scary run-in with someone who was trying to abduct her.
Oh, fuck.
In a van.
Yeah, in around the Sereno?
Around, no, it was around the Arts District area.
Oh,
kind of like
yeah, yeah.
In the less populated
Tokyo /
more, yeah, somewhere around there. around Earth Cafe down there, if you know where that is. Yeah. Anyway, she was scared by the situation, and she's actually someone who founded the Warriors Community of the Defense Program, but stepped away shortly after. You know, to be able to circle back now and reconnect in that way, where we're making these, you know, these little videos together, was I think just a reminder of like some of that, like you said, that internet work, you know, that maybe I'm not like the best at, or maybe I don't always want to do that kind of work, you know, mm-hmm. just like be present online and that kind of thing. But at the same time, it's important to recognize like that's how you can reach people, you know. And so we made these little videos after that encounter, because she was like, I'm not the only one. You know, I know there's other people out there who have experienced things like this. And we know, right, that women of color in working class communities are a target for that kind of violence. So we made these little videos just as a way to get the technique out to people who maybe can't come to class or don't, you know, have the ability to come learn either from us or any other place. You know, they can grab a friend, someone who they trust, and try this with them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's just like that ripple effect we were talking about, right? If we can just kind of like, if we can teach someone this one self-defense technique remotely, and it's going to increase their chances of survival in a situation like this, then dang, why not? You know?
Yeah,
why
right.
Not?
Exactly. You're doing your part to try to put that information out there, right?
The social media part.
Yeah. No, exactly. And then I think, again, that's before we finish wrapping this up, you know, I think that's like the key. You know, you got to, even if you don't, it's okay, people don't like being forced into doing things, you know, like when you try to push something on them, they're going to, you know, it's just like our social nature to kind of like reject it, you know? So it's like once you plant like that little tiny seed, you know, or throw that little rock in the lake and those ripples start making effect, you yourself are going to come to the conclusion that you want to make those changes on your own compared to being it forced upon you, you know, because that's when you're going to grow resentment towards it. But, you know, like you said, like doing the whole remote thing, it's powerful because you're still getting that information, that knowledge. And then somebody who does happen to ever be in that position, you know, knowing that they've watched something like that or something similar, they have an upper hand in regards to what's going on, you know, and it's like a one up for everybody.
Right.
Know? But yeah, Claudia, I mean, thank you for coming out. I really do appreciate it. If people want to get more information about the Warriors program, how can they go about that?
We have a website. It's not the best. If anybody out there who wants to help out with constructing a better website, let us know. WarriorsCSD, as in communityselfdefense.com. Mm-hmm. It just has, you know, our very basic information, kind of who we are, what we're about, and the schedule of classes. I think the most up-to-date and kind of active site is the Instagram account, mm-hmm. and so that's where we post a lot of videos, a lot of, you know, just changes, updates, that kind of thing. But that's where you get to see a lot more like of the content of what we do, and reach out that way. Yeah. Come check out a class, Eastside Cafe. Eastside Cafe has the website as well. You know, check that out. Amazing space, doing, you know, great work. Plug into other things that are going on, you know, in the community, like the fight against Caltrans for these homes that have been sitting vacant along the 710 corridor, you know.
Damn, for reals? I wasn't even aware.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. They bought out so many houses years ago when they were planning to extend the 710 from where it ends in Alhambra all the way to Pasadena. So they bought homes in Alhambra, South Pasadena, and Pasadena, where the corridor, where the freeway was going to extend. Mm-hmm. And so now, because they have decided against building the extension to the freeway, people fought it for whatever reasons, right? It's not going to happen. So now those homes are sitting there empty. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are unoccupied.
Yeah.
Some of them have tenants that are Caltrans tenants. So, you know, Caltrans is technically
like the employees type of thing.
They're the authority that the state authority that governs that. Mm-hmm. You know, roads, the freeways, all of that. So anyway, they own them, but they're sitting empty right now, and the people are out in the streets, you know, without a home. And so it's just one, and you know, one plus one type of thing. You just, you know, got to make it happen. So that's a whole nother conversation for another time. But anyway, warriorscsd.com, Instagram, warriorscsd. Come out, check out a class. Tell a homie.
Tell the homie. Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you, Clyde, for coming out. I really appreciate it. And yeah, everybody heard that information, so check it out. And
And you gotta come back to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure. I'm gonna talk to you after this, and then we're gonna settle this out. Next thing you know, I'm gonna be a black belt.
Yeah,
it's been a few years.
10 years.
10 years. Fuck. Okay. Fuck. All right. Sounds good, Claudia. Thank you again, everybody. Sneaky, thank you for having us today at your studio. Yeah, man. Thanks, dude. We'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Bye.
I dream turns into reality. Best way for actions to speak loudly. Hardly can count on anyone when shit get cloudy. Only wanna kick it to get on cloud 90. Precisely setting up these boundaries, so I grow strong like a sequoia tree. Profound happiness is all I see. Mess with me, kill you like poison ivy. I'm flying high in the sky like a dragonfly. So divine, don't compromise with these fucking guys that tell these fucking lies. Sell these fucking lies, always think they right. I'm dripping gold, letting go. In with the new, out with the old. Dripping gold, drip, drip, dripping gold.